Lee Russell is a writer of crime fiction, and she's going to tell us a great deal more about that later, what that means. Welcome to the studio, Lee. But what I want to do first is to go back to your own back history, your own story.
I fell in love with books as a child, and I was an avid reader as a child. And reading was partly an escape from life. It was partly a shield. I think I was quite shy, and I think a lot of shy people tend to retreat into books. And so I discovered all these different worlds through books. And I was then fortunate enough to study English literature for 4 years at university. So that was 4 years more reading. It was just a great joy to me. And it never, ever occurred to me at that time to even consider writing a book, because in those days, to me, writers were people, authors were kind of other people. I didn't even think of them as real people. And I think nowadays we're surrounded by creative writing courses and so many people are writing, which is wonderful. And I think if I was young now, I probably would have started writing much earlier than I did. But when I was young and when I was at university, it was all about reading for me. And that carried on until I was in my 50s, really. And then it became all about writing.
The sort of books that you were reading as a child, they were a fairly wide range.
The sort of literature that was written for children when I was younger was very different to the child-friendly books that are produced nowadays. Some brilliant books nowadays, I'm not saying they're not. But looking at some of the books that we read as children, the language is really quite advanced. Thinking of books like Treasure Island, when you look at them now, the language is much more difficult. Just William. The language is much more sophisticated than in a lot of children's books now. And I don't think that was a bad thing, because I think it enhanced our language ability, really.
Okay. When you went to university there, again, you were still studying,
yes.
English and American
yes.
literature.
Yes.
That's quite a broad range, and you
yes.
wouldn't have covered all of it, even in 4 years.
No.
What sort of literature then did you focus on that interested you particularly?
It was very, very eclectic, from Shakespeare to existential literature to Henry James. I love Dickens, love Edith Wharton, all yeah. sorts, really.
So you
very
see where my question is going, and now you are a crime writer, and I'm trying to work out where that influence came from. You said that you've always wanted to write, and sort of later in life, as it were, you got the opportunity
well,
and you took
yes.
it.
Yes, I mean, I didn't actually always want to write. It never really occurred to me when I was younger. I just enjoyed reading, and it was only later on in life that I started writing. But where the crime element came from is very easy to find, because the greatest crime writer of all time, possibly, was Shakespeare. Think of his great tragedies, Hamlet, Macbeth, Othello, regicide, fratricide, Othello murders his wife. There is a lot of crime in a lot of great literature, and the crime genre is very much pigeonholed as books that focus specifically on crime. But if you think about Dostoevsky, even Dickens, there is a lot of crime. In fact, I think you would struggle perhaps to find literature that doesn't involve crime. I mean, even Jane Austen in Pride and Prejudice, there's Wickham, who's a bit of a, you know, a bit fraudulent, isn't he? Although he doesn't go around committing murders. I think crime is really conflict between people, and that pervades all
sure,
literature.
That's fundamental literature. Mm. But when I use the words simplistically, crime writers, of course, it's immensely popular at the moment, because
yes.
I mean, you can't turn on the radio or the television in particular without seeing some form of police, whether it's Swedish or Norwegian or English, and mainly English. And crime books sell in phenomenal
it's
numbers.
It's a hugely popular genre, yes. And I think, well, there are a number of reasons for that. I mean, crime fiction, in essence, is goodies and baddies. And then you have the tension, the suspense, there's the puzzle-solving aspect of it. There's so much. There's also some social commentary in crime fiction. In my very first book, Cut Short, my killer, in some ways, is as much a victim as the people that he kills. He's a character who should not really be out in the community. What is going on in our society? There was something on the news saying that there are children as young as 10 who are running around with guns. How can we allow that to happen? And in fact, gun crime is an issue that I have dealt with in my latest book, Murder Ring. I don't like guns. I didn't want to write about guns. I would like to see all guns banned. I know that's, you know, never going to happen. My initial series featuring my detective, Geraldine Steele, she starts out in Kent and she then moves to London. Well, I felt I couldn't really write a police procedural crime series set in London and never even mention guns. So I do tackle that issue in Murder Ring, my latest book. The people who have guns in that book, they're not necessarily evil master criminals. No, they are dysfunctional people who don't really know what they're doing. And this happens in society. Yeah. What are we doing to allow this to happen in our society? So these are the kind of issues that crime fiction can deal with.
It's interesting because the dysfunctionality of almost all of the characters in Murder Ring comes over quite clearly. I mean, it's a dysfunctional society in which some people are falling through all sorts of nets down.
Yes.
One of the things I want to come to, and perhaps after we've had an extract from it, is how important is the main character? You refer to the Detective Geraldine. How significant is she? Are you developing her as a character?
This is a really interesting question, actually. When I wrote Cut Short, my debut book, what really interested me and what continues to interest me and what drives my narratives is the motivation and the character of my killers. What is it that drives one human being to behave in that way? It's such extreme behaviour. And trying to get inside the head of somebody who behaves in that way. When I wrote Cut Short, I became fascinated by the idea of my killer. And I wrote pages and pages and pages about him. And I did bring in, I'll be completely honest with you, I brought in my detective really as a function of the plot, because this situation had to be resolved, because this is fiction and fiction offers us some kind of resolution, which I think is another reason why crime fiction is so appealing, because in real life, so often, we don't have that feeling of resolution. My editor and my publisher both said to me, your detective is the character who is going to continue through the series. Readers have to be interested in her. You have to make her more interesting. And so in the second book, Road Closed, I brought in her backstory. And as the series develops, readers get to know more and more about her. And a couple of reviewers have commented on how clever this was of me to just tell a little bit about her in the first book, drop in a little bit more in the second book. Well, that honestly was not planned. I've got to know her through the series. But readers have become very, very involved in her life. And I get so many messages from people saying, when is she going to sort her life out? When is this going to happen? It's quite a strange phenomenon. Geraldine has a sergeant, Ian Peterson. And because of the popularity of the Geraldine Steele books, we ran a spin-off series for Ian Peterson. And a manager in one of the bookshops said to me one time, she said, oh, I'm so in love with Ian Peterson. And I thought, what are you talking about? This is just some character I've invented. And I gave him a rather annoying wife for a particular reason, because I was thinking about what was going to happen to him in his life. And I hope it's not a spoiler, but I did need to get rid of her at some point. So I made her quite annoying. And I think I went a little bit too far, because I had a lot of messages from readers saying, I can't stand that wife. When is he going to get rid of her? Oh, I love the book, but I just want to give that wife of his a real slap. Oh, goodness, I've gone a bit too far in making her annoying.
So how far ahead do you know what's going to happen to your detective or the former psychic?
I kind of have ideas rather than plans. I have ideas, and sometimes they work out, and sometimes I go off in a different direction. And writing a book is very much like taking your reader on a journey. I know where we're starting. I know where we're going to end up. But how we get from our starting position to our destination, I've got a rough idea, but it sometimes changes as we go along. In the same way that when you go on a journey, sometimes you get to a roadblock. So I might be following through one idea and then I think, actually, that's really stupid. That character would never do that. Sometimes you see an alternative route. Sometimes I think, oh, actually, what if this character did go here or did do that? Or what if these two characters met? So I might have an idea along the way. So I have a rough idea. So far, there are 8 Geraldine Steele books published. I'm writing the 9th. I'm signed to write another 3, so that would take us up to 12. I think I'm going to do about 20 in the series. I have an idea in my head of where Geraldine is going to end up, the final scene of the series. But what's going to happen along the way, I don't know. It's a bit of a voyage of discovery for me as well, and I think that's what makes it so much fun.
In Murder Ring, we find out, obviously, there's some new information about her that wasn't in previous books, and yes. I understand that. So give us a taste of a Murder Ring.
The girl behind the bar laughed too, displaying perfect teeth. Her smile gave him a warm feeling. This is a nice place, he said, and you're a very nice girl. I can see that. Would you like to see my wife's ring? I've got it right here. He patted his trouser pocket. It cost me over 12 grand. You shouldn't shout about it in public. David was about to speak to her again, but she moved away to serve another customer. Finding a seat at a corner table, he hung his jacket carefully over the back of his chair before sitting down. At the bar, the pink-haired girl was talking to someone else. Finishing his pint, he stood up. He felt a little woozy. With a last glance over his shoulder at the girl behind the bar, he staggered out. The night air sobered him slightly, making him shiver. All he wanted was to go home and lie down. The pavement along Oxford Street was crowded. Turning onto a side street, He walked more quickly, heading in what he thought was the right direction. Hearing footsteps pounding along the street behind him, he looked over his shoulder, fleetingly worried, then laughed because the street was deserted. All the same, he felt uneasy. Everything looked different in the dark. He was bursting for a slash, so he turned off Wells Street into a narrow, unlit lane. There was no one around to see him stagger over to the wall. Before he could unzip his trousers, he heard footsteps approaching and a hoarse voice called out. Turning his head, he made out a figure hovering in the shadows.
"Give me the ring."
"What?" Sober enough to understand what was going on, he was drunk enough to be angry. "If you think I'm going to hand over my wife's ring..." As the shadowy figure raised one arm, the barrel of a gun glinted in the moonlight.
The crime happens very early on, the initial crime. And is that true of the other books? I was looking at the titles, Cut Short, Road Closed, Dead End, Deathbed, Stop Dead.
Titles is another conversation altogether, so difficult to think of them. Yes, I mean, people do sometimes ask me what my books are about, and I will say, start with the body and off we go. Yes. I think readers of this genre like to start with something dramatic happening. One of the appeals of crime fiction, I think, is the drama aspect of it. And so we start with something really dramatic, usually a murder in or a body discovered in my books, and then we can start to unpick what's going to happen. And in fact, if you look back over the history of crime fiction, a lot of people say that The Moonstone by Wilkie Collins was the very first crime novel. And you read through pages and pages and pages and pages before anything happens, because it's written from multiple points of view. But the main narrator is a bumbling old man, lovely chap, and he spends about 10 pages writing about how he came to be sitting down to write this book, and then he had to find a pen, and then he's interrupted, and it goes on and on and on. You couldn't get away with that nowadays. Crime fiction has really evolved. I mean, Conan Doyle in The Speckled Band, he introduces one of his villains as, and I quote, "his face was marked with every evil passion." Now, if I was to introduce a villain in one of my books in that way, you would laugh. It's like a pantomime villain, isn't it? Nowadays, we have to be far more sophisticated. And a lot of writing crime nowadays is, well, it's red herrings, it's misdirection, trying to pull the wool over readers' eyes. And this is the aspect of writing crime fiction that I find the most difficult, because most of my readers are very sophisticated in the genre. They're highly intelligent people. How am I going to stay one step ahead of them and trick them? I try and throw in a curved ball. They see it coming. They can see what I'm doing. So that aspect of writing the crime novels is quite difficult, trying to think of that twist that works. And I've read some crime books where there's a ridiculous twist, and you think you're really trying too hard to do something that readers couldn't possibly have anticipated, and it's just silly. So it's trying to find that fine line between being completely unpredictable and yet completely credible. It's tricky.
And in a way, the fact that so much crime fiction of one sort or another has been seen in film and much more in television, which is a medium which likes to cut between things quite quickly, and the sophistication of your audience is to a very large extent influenced by the media that they're exposed to, as it were. You can't take forever
because
your audience demands that you, in a way, follow the conventions of television.
Yes, I do write very, very short chapters, and I do switch from one scene to another, and I do that deliberately. Partly because I think nowadays everyone is so busy and audiences demand that, but also because I think it gives a sense of things happening at the same time. And if you think of the American series 24 that did this for the first time, you see the television screen and it's split into four different scenes. So you can see four actions taking place simultaneously. And that is telling the audience that these things are happening all at the same time. And I think very short chapters, a page this is happening and then a couple of pages on something else is happening, it gives you that same feeling that things are happening at the same time. And that can be very, very effective. So I might have my killer out killing somebody, and next page, the police are sitting at the police station trying to piece the clues together. And the reader knows what the killer's up to. They know that something is happening, but the police at the police station don't know at the same time. So that style of writing has been influenced by television. I think, again, if you look at Victorian novels, you would get very, very, very long chapters. And Dickens, his chapters are spun out. They're quite lengthy because, of course, his books were published in serial form and he had to write so many words for each edition. So he had to spin it out. Whereas nowadays, it's much more short.
Will your character, your detective, appear on television?
The Geraldine Steele and Ian Peterson series are in development for television at the moment. So fingers crossed. you will one day, not too long, I hope, see Geraldine Steele on television, and it will say story based on story by Lee Russell, because, of course, they do make changes, and that's fair enough. When I went to the meeting with the television production company before we finally signed, I had all these things I was going to say to them. I was going to say, right, the deal breaker is that my husband wants to have a cameo role in every episode, stepping on or off a bus, you know, like Hitchcock had a cameo role. Of course, I didn't say that at all. I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. But the one thing I did say to them was that I would want Geraldine Steele to be played by an actress who is convincingly an intelligent, driven police detective in her late 30s. You know, you think Helen Mirren playing Jane Tennyson, Robbie Coltrane playing Cracker, David Suchet as Poirot. It's the main actor who is the key, really. And they have to be credibly intelligent. And some actors can do that, can't they? You can see them thinking while they're acting. You know, that was my only sort of stipulation.
We don't know how long that's going to be. We look forward to it getting to the next stages.
Yes.
You use media, other social media and so on quite a lot. Did you start by self-publishing, or did you go straight into getting an agent and getting a publisher?
I've never self-published. I started really almost by chance. I wrote somewhere that I fell into this like Alice down the rabbit hole. I had an idea one day. My children had grown up and left home. I'd stepped down from running a very busy department at school, and I was still teaching, but the pressure was off compared to what I had been doing. And I actually thought, you know, I'm in my 50s. I've worked really hard all my life. I'm just going to take things a bit easier. After a few weeks, I started to get a little bit bored. And then I had an idea one day and started writing. And you know that feeling when you're reading a book and you just can't put it down? It's almost painful to have to put it down. You're so into it. That's how I felt when I was writing Cut Short. I got so involved in this story. It became really compulsive. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote for about 6 weeks, and the story wrote itself out. And when I finished, I thought, I've written a book. I printed out what I'd done, as we did in those days. This is back in 2008. Sent it off to a couple of publishers who specialised in crime, one of which was an imprint of Oldcastle Books in Harpenden. The imprint's called No Exit
Press.
So you
went straight to the publisher? You didn't go through
the agent? Send off to publisher.
Okay.
2 weeks later, I had a phone call at work from my husband saying, we've had a call from a publisher. Notice the we there. We've had a call from a publisher. And he'd written this little message, and it just gave the lady's name and phone number. I said, likes your book, wants to chat. So we met, and a couple of months later, I signed a 3-book deal with them. And I've made it all sound very, very easy. Mm. Wrote a book in 6 weeks. Mm. 2 weeks later, I had a phone call from a publisher. Once we'd signed the deal, that was when the work really began, because I'd been terribly self-indulgent. I'd just written all the exciting bits, and every other page there was a murder or a drug heist or a kidnap. And the story didn't totally make sense. So I had to do quite a lot of work on it, do some research into police procedure and knock it into shape. But that book was published as Cut Short, which went on to be shortlisted for a Crime Writers Association Dagger Award, which was quite a big deal. And we've gone on from there, and the books sold really well. So No Exit then offered me another 3-book deal, and I've just signed my 4th 3-book deal with them. So that would be 12 in the Geraldine series, and we've got the spin-off series with Ian Peterson. So here I am. And when I give advice to aspiring writers, I mean, I'm often asked for advice. What do I know, really? And I always say to them, work hard, be brave, because you do have to be brave. You're sticking your head above the parapet when your book is published, and you can get all sorts of criticism and stuff. So work hard, be brave. And a third thing I say is be lucky. I've been extraordinarily lucky. No Exit Press have been absolutely fantastic, and I really, really love working with them. Yes. Producing a book is a team effort, and I now have another publisher as well, but I haven't left No Exit Press. I was writing 2 books a year for No Exit, the Geraldine Steele and the Ian Peterson. So at the moment, I'm doing 1 book a year for them, which is just the Geraldine Steele, and writing 1 book a year for another publisher, Thomas and Mercer. But Ian Peterson has not disappeared. He still keeps in touch with Geraldine. And in each of their books, there's always a chapter where they keep in touch with the other one. In fact, somebody started a page on Facebook saying, bring back Ian Peterson.
No Exit Press are a local publisher.
Yeah.
You went to them because you knew they were...
I went to the Writers and Artists yearbook, and I just looked up publishers that specialise in crime and sent out what I'd written to a couple of publishers. I didn't even know at the time that they were just in Harpenden, because I didn't expect to hear back from anybody.
That's
right. I just
and that's why also you're coming back to the St Albans Literary Festival.
Yes, I will be at the St Albans Literary Festival, and the date has not yet been confirmed, but the St Albans Literary Festival is the 8th to the 10th of July. So at some point in that period, I will be on a panel at St Albans Literary Festival. Yes, I go around the country. I appear at quite a lot of literary festivals. Maybe you can tell I like to get out and chat to people.
Because writing in the garret can get very lonely.
Well, actually, I wish I had a lonely garret. I get interrupted all the time. We have quite a busy household. People say writing is a very solitary career. I haven't found that. I feel very much with No Exit and also with Thomas and Mercer that I am part of a team. And of course, when I am on my own, I have my characters.
I was just going to say, the voices in my head. You're never alone. No. They're always there. Thank you very much, Lee. We've run out of time.
Thanks you so much.
In.